And turn to Revelation, chapter 1. Julie,
what do you have on my last verse I had last week?
If you want to do the comparison.
Okay.
You talked on, I think you only got down to 8.
Okay, yeah. All right, let's stand and read God's Word tonight, beginning at verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Remind you that the Lord's day is always Sunday, as the day He rose from the grave. That's why we celebrate the Lord's resurrection every Sunday morning. And he's speaking about the Lord's Day. Paul the Apostle talks about how we're supposed to bring to the storehouse on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see a voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars of the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May God have blessing in the Word of God as He always does. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that You gave John this revelation that we could enjoy, and so that we could understand some things that are happening in our lives and in the lives of this world, and which will happen. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation, if you wanted to make a quote on that, you say this is the promised blessing. The author of the Holy Spirit of God. The writer is the beloved Apostle John. Written around the 96 A.D. Written at the island of Patmos. Written for the information of things to come. written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Paul was one of the 12 apostles. His twin brother named James. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. Both of them wanted a throne next to Jesus, but later in their life received tribulation. James was martyred by King Herod, and John was exiled and lived a long, long time. He loved Jesus Christ very much, and he was called the beloved disciple. He was told by Jesus to take care of his mama, Mary. He wrote 5 books of the Bible, St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And John was exiled to Patmos by the emperor, Nomnation. He was the worst of all worst. He was the coldest-blooded murderer you could ever read about in history. The Isle of Patmos was a rocky, bleak, 10-mile by 6-mile wide island. It was a Roman penal camp where prisoners labored in mines. And John spent about 18 lonely months in exile. He spent that because of the Word of God and the testimony that he preached. And when you read Revelation, you'll see that John wrote with no complaints. He did not complain in the area that he had been placed in. You know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of hard time with things happening in their lives. They just can't get over some things that just happen to be in their path, and they gripe and complain. I pray to God we don't do that. I pray to God we just kind of, like one man, just suck it up and go on. Amen. You know, just get back in the car and drive. Amen. Let's just make an adventure. Let's go on. And then you can't change it. Can you? Unless you ask for it, unless you got into some trouble because you did something stupid. But for the most part, we don't ask for it. And we know that God allows it. And that's the thing that gets us through it, is we know that God is in control. And God's got it handled. God's going to take care of us. God's going to get us through this thing. A lot of people just can't get over that. They have a hard time. They think that life should be perfect. You go back to Job, and Job said to his wife, why should we have just good and not receive evil when everybody else is receiving it? So I hope that you will catch on to some of that stuff. You know, sometimes life gets pretty grueling. Times that here's a man that walked with Jesus Christ. Here's a man that healed people, cast out demons. Here's a man that did great things for God. He was one of the three, Peter, James, and John. They're on the Mount Transfiguration. He saw this, but here is an older man. He is placed in this place of great trouble, yet he has made no complaint. So maybe we take note of that. John was not a learned man. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 talks about that. But he was fearless and is faithful. And when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know what the Bible said, you can be fearless and you can be faithful. You just stay with it. Amen. You know, the best thing that happens to us is we can go to heaven. Amen. And he taught the Word of God with fear and fervor. He preached the Word of God without fear and fervor. And he would not, nor would he ever trim his sails to anything. All right. Let me get back to my... I just wanted to give you a reminder of some of that stuff that's going on. Chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega. These are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. It's like our A and Z is Alpha and Omega. And in this he is saying Jesus is everything. And he meets all our needs. We don't need any more. Kind of like the little boy said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need. And what a great, great statement. The Almighty, Isaiah 9:6, we've been speaking about that in our Sunday sermons. For unto us is born, and unto us his son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He can take it, amen? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so he is called the Mighty God. Also, I want you to go to chapter 1, verse 9. Talks about John. He has used no high-sounding titles to impress anybody. Verse 9, it says this. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. John would rather be called brother. And by the way, when you're called a brother in the Christian circles, there's no greater title. There's no greater title than someone say, "Hey, brother." It's a beautiful title. Amen. And it's the highest title that one Christian could call another. He also just calls himself a companion. That's literally a co-laborer, one who comes alongside. John puts himself at the same level. He didn't want to be high and above the layman. God did not, and by the way, God not intended in the age for the preachers to dress higher and to think themselves higher than laymen. We're all saved by grace. Just as God puts us in a position that some of us are not too sure we want to be put in that position, because being put in a position, there is a lot of responsibility placed on your shoulders because of that. I will stand before God a lot different than you'll stand before God. And the Bible said, "I'm going to look after the flock." And there's some sheep are a little harder to take care of than others. Some are always trying to get out. Some are always staying away from the feed. You know, and that's a frustrating experience. And it is our responsibility to encourage them to do right. Amen. So you got to remember that John was lonely. And he's on a barren island. But he never complains, but he does find joy in thinking that Jesus Christ is coming again. And that ought to be our joy. Jesus is coming again. With all the troubles, all the sorrows, all the crazy things going on in our life, Jesus is coming again. I read a letter to Tammy, a note to Tammy. I says, "I talked to your husband about Jesus, and he didn't accept Christ as Savior." I always do that. Businessmen come to this office, they're going to sell me something. I'm going to tell them something, amen. And I said, we had a great opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. I said, "I just want you to know, thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven." He talks about the patience of Jesus Christ. Literally, the patient waiting for Jesus Christ. We're all supposed to be waiting for Jesus Christ to come. And he said he was in the isle called Patmos, testimony of Jesus Christ. John tells why he's there. He dared to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that there are certain things that were coming up at this election, that there was a lot of people that are just kind of gritting their teeth and saying, "You know what? I don't care what they tell me in the government. I'm still going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to put me in jail? You want to put me in jail?" Thank God I've got a lot of friends up there. Amen. But I know some of them boys will sneak me in a couple crackers or something. But let me tell you something. I'll be honest with you. That's what I was looking at. You'd heard about down in Texas where they took those preachers and said they want all their notes and all that stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You just go right ahead. I'm going to preach the counsel of God. This is, I belong to America, but I also have a kingdom I belong to. And the kingdom comes first. And I will stand straight on the Word of God. I will not apologize for the Word of God. I will not apologize for Jesus Christ. I will not apologize for His virgin birth. I will not apologize for living circumspectly in this world. I will not apologize for the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not apologize that Jesus says there's only one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. I won't apologize for that. And you can send me to jail about that. You can just take me out for that. That's fine. I can change it. I've been doing it too long to find another way, man. I see some preachers, they're finding new ways. I feel sorry for them. Because they're going to stand before a holy God. And God's going to say, "What in the world did you do that for?" And I'm sure there's quite a few things He's going to say to me about that too, amen. So I'm not out of the woods yet. Many preachers were exiled even today for preaching the Word of God. I was just reading an article, and I heard about breaking the cross. Anybody heard of that yet? It's called breaking the cross. Well, the jihadists have started a new war. They haven't started; they've always been in it. And they say, we're going to break every cross we can find. They're going into the cemeteries now. I know the internet is not all true, but I went to quite a few of them that I could trust, and they're saying they're going into cemeteries and breaking off crosses by the thousands.
They're climbing up on top of churches and knocking the cross off. Oh yeah, we're in it. And there's preachers today. They're in jail because they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know we've got a lot of stuff going on in Russia, but I'll tell you right now, they're putting preachers in jail. Right now. In Nepal, they just arrested, I think it was 13 that were giving out Bibles, put them in jail. They're in jail today. It's not the country you girls want to. So these things are heating up. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that you know that you got a home in heaven someday? Amen. Well, because I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, verse 10, the Scripture says, and then I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. When God speaks in the last days, He often makes mention of a trumpet. When Jesus comes, He will come the sound of the trumpet. The next thing on God's timetable for you and me is a trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet means two things. Number one, get up in the morning. It's a resurrection trumpet. And number two, the assembly. And we are going to assemble. The dead in Christ shall, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise. And we'll be caught up and never be with the Lord. And I think, it don't make any difference what I think, the Scripture teaches everything's ready right now. You don't have to have any more revelation to be finished. It's ready right now. Right now. Revelation 1:11 saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches of Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. John sent them their orders. This is from God. God told me, write this down, send it to you. I have a slide that I usually put up when I'm teaching this. It's three boys fighting. And a fourth boy comes and has his hand up. And he said, Dad said stop. You ever have your siblings kind of fussing? And one of the siblings said, hey, come on, cut that out. And they don't quit. Then all of a sudden, that sister or that brother comes and Dad said stop. That exactly is what John is writing to these seven churches. The Father said, stop. You listen. You read this. You do what it says. And listen, he says, and I turned to see the voice. This is Jesus. When you read John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's who he's talking about. And in chapter 3, verse 8 of Genesis, they heard the voice of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Then we go down to the seven golden candlesticks. And verse 20 is the key here. The mystery of the seven stars, and it talks about, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So anytime he talks about a candlestick, he's talking about the church. And what does the Bible say about our church? It's supposed to shine. We're supposed to shine in great falls. We're supposed to shine in the world. And so the candlesticks. And notice who is in the midst of the candlesticks. What does the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Now notice the middle of the candlesticks. By the way, it was the job of the high priest to keep the candlesticks of the tabernacle in order. So it is our high priest who keeps the churches in order. He's here. You think you're getting away with it? You think you can stay home from church? You think you can boycott services or you know, God is here. God is here. Now I want you to look at Jesus here, verses 14 through 16. Hair like snow, that's the purest thing in the world. Eyes flame as fire, feet like fine brass, countenance as the sun. What a picture of Jesus. John saw him. And someday,
we will see him. And then we go on the, and he had in his hand seven stars. He had in his right hand seven stars. Well, we got to go back to chapter 20 and find out the mystery. The mystery means something's unlocked. And it says, the mystery of the seven stars, which is saw us in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. It's referring to the pastors. Angel means one who hearkens, one who speaks out, one who goes and preaches. And Jesus told his preachers, I want you to know that I got you in my right hand. What a blessing is that, amen? There's some times that are not so pleasant in being in the ministry. There's some times it's not so pleasant to have to go and tune up some things, amen. So verse 17 tells us that John did what he did when he saw him. Jesus answered, and his falling down was, fear not, and he put his right hand on him. And to those of us who know Jesus, we need not to fear his coming. He is coming to reward us. He's coming to be with us. And he said, verse 18, forevermore. That means the ages upon ages, it is not through. It is just an introduction. This world that we live in, what? Some people, the Bible said 70. Some by strength, 80. Some surpass that. My uncle just surpassed 100. I don't know too many people out there 100. But that's just the beginning. Forevermore means ages upon ages. It is not through, but into. And in verse 19, he gives us the intro of the book. In verse 19, he says, write these things which thou hast seen. So that's chapter 1. And the things which are, that's chapter 2 and 3, that talks about the seven churches. You'll see different, you'll see our church in a couple areas in that. And then you'll see the things to come. That's chapter 4 on, and that's when Jesus Christ comes and takes us home. Amen. All right, let's go to chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Who's the angel? The preacher. He said to John, he said, unto the preacher of the church of Ephesus, write. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor. And thy patience, and and how that cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now this is Jesus talking to him. Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. So we've got the tree of paradise looking forward to, amen? You know what that means, don't you? That means that we'll live forever, tree of paradise.
The church of Ephesus, unto the angel. The word angel means messenger. It pertains to the pastor of the church. Why do you suppose that Jesus is writing to the pastor? Because no church can rise any higher than its pastor. The same is true about a Sunday school class, any organization. The class will rise no higher than its leader. Then he speaks to the church of Ephesus. The word Ephesus means love in Greek. This is the greatest need of every church. How would you like for Jesus to come back and find you and a fellow member of your church not getting along? He's writing about that here. You hear people say, well, I don't like her. You'll hear people say, well, they get too much credit. Or you'll hear people say, I can't stand them. That's not the words of a true Christian, amen? What does the Bible say in John 13:35? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There's something wrong when you got fussing going on in the church. Have mercy. I know there's fussing in homes. So why do you stay? Because you love them. And you know better. And you try to get it straightened out. Finally, Dad says, that's enough of that. I just take my two boys. I put chairs, make them sit, looking at each other. I said, doggone you guys. I didn't have a brother. I had three sisters. I yearned to have a brother. But I never had one. And you guys, I was treated by two cousins named Dennis and Cal Streeter. They were the bestest, if there's such a word, they were the bestest friends I ever seen. I never seen Dennis and Cal ever speak unkindly to each other. They were just buddies all the time. I mean, all the way through, even today. Never fuss with each other. And I told my boys, I said, that's what I want of you guys. And I got them some boxing gloves. 10 ounces. They're heavy. And I wanted to teach them how to box, how to protect themselves. And all of a sudden, one of them get a cheap shot in, and all of a sudden it just turned into a bear fight, you know. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, yeah. I said, take them off. I said, you ain't going to get mad. You ain't going to fight. And I think Christian life, we ought to be very careful how we talk about other people, how we comment to other people. I know some people's feelings are hurt because some people said this and some people said that. And actually, they didn't say that, but this person said they did say that. And that should not be in a church. We're here. You know what we're here for? To win people to Jesus Christ. We are not here for ourselves. We're here to serve others. That's what a true church is about. And when you got people that come to church and all they do is sit, they come and they leave, and they come and they leave, something wrong there. You ought to be a part of it. You ought to find something to do. Something can be done here. There's always something to do. Every once in a while, from the pulpit, I tell people, hey, we need to have this done. And it needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. This is your church. This is your church. If your attendance, what if everybody's attendance like your attendance? Well, I look around. I say, praise God. I like that. Amen. Some people just don't show up. How about your tithe? You know, if you don't tithe, you're coming in here and you're burning other people's lights. This is your house. What happens if you don't pay your electric bill at home? What happens if you don't pay your water bill? What happens if you don't pay your gas bill? What if you don't pay off your mortgage? What if you don't pay your rent?
You need to take possession of what God has given you. God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a matter of summons. God says, your church, you're to be there every service the service has. I understand when you're sick. I understand that. I understand when you got a job and the job says you have, but bless God, don't stay home for bonanza. Shame on you. You know, well, it's cold. Yeah, it's cold. It didn't stop you from going to Walmart and getting some bread and milk. Well, you ought to come to church. You say, well, you fuss with? Because I'm the these things saith the holdest the seven stars in the right hand. If you will read Revelation 1:20, you get that explanation. The stars are messengers or pastors. Thank God that he holds his pastors in his right hand. The Bible said this in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank God that I can't get out of his hand. Amen. The Bible said he walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Verse 20 tells us again what they are. That's the midst of the church. Imagine him walking in the midst of our church tonight and looking at the chairs and saying, where are these people at? Where do these people always sit there? Good night. Where's this family sitting over? Where's that new family sitting here? Hey, you know what? He's here. And he sees if you're here or not. Don't you get mad at me. I'm just an angel. I'm just the messenger. I'm just bringing it to you. I'm just telling you what he says. Amen? I'm just telling you, hey, God knows. You say, but this is the Christmas holiday. Duh! I thought this is Christ's birthday that we're celebrating. Some of you guys get so crazy because somebody said, well, happy holidays. And you, well, Merry Christmas. And you don't even show up for church. That's, you know what that's called? Hypocrite. You've got your favorite little thing or your favorite little saying, but boy, don't ask me to do anything more than I have to because I'm really busy. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Everybody's busy. I never have enough time in life. Do you have enough time in life? I've been wanting to clean my garage since July. I've moved some stuff around because of my sportsman's camp. I finally got that put away, but there's other stuff that's been moved here. I can't even get at my shanty, Brother John. But I got the kids coming over Saturday. We're going to get that thing out of there, amen. Everybody who is very, very, very dedicated to a certain thing, you will get that done. Don't forget your church. Don't forget the one who loves you is going to take you to heaven someday. Don't forget the one who came to this earth. He didn't have to come here. He didn't have to save our wretched soul. He came because he loved us, for God so loved. So I hope tonight that we would just kind of, hey, you know what? Maybe we ought to just kind of rearrange some of our priorities of life and say, you know what? This is my priority. You see, if you don't, all the blessings and all the things that you're used to, after a while, they dissipate. If you don't fight for it, same with a wedding, a marriage. If you don't fight for your marriage, it'll go out the tube. If you don't fight for your children, if you don't constantly after them and doing this and that, you say, my daughter-in-law, she says, Dad, I'm just tired. I'm just tired of this rascal. I said, hey, you know what? I was the same way. I said, don't give up. Don't give up. That little stinker, he's more like me than any of all of them. I feel so sorry for him. Poor kid. I hope you guys, God calls him a preacher. Because then he'll know
There's certain things about life that can be changed. Father,